Welcome to the Fondcast. I'm Stefan Rudd. It took a lot to get this show prepared today, and I'm not saying this part for credit, but the point I'm making here is that they purposely hide things from you, and they hide it in plain sight. There was a time where you can read an article online and you can get everything out of that one piece, or you can read a story in the magazine. It'd be a cover story. It'd be 3 or 4 pages in the magazine. It'll cover just the meat of the story. It'll be a little bit of the narrative as well. But then they would at some point get to the meat of the story, and you could grasp and understand whatever the topic was within one sitting. And now they figured out how to piece things together from different sources. And they'll say one thing in this article, another thing in that article, and it could be just one paragraph. But that one paragraph makes the other article make more sense. And so, or even a word choice. They might have one word, like for example, when it comes to cryptocurrencies, when they say that some currencies are backed by gold and silver, they don't tell you that in one article it'll say, oh yes, this XRP or whatever is backed by gold and silver. But then when you read it in another piece in a different country, maybe they're using the word synthetic gold. And that's a big difference. And it's the same Federal Reserve bankers. So it's you know that when they use the word synthetic in one area, it's applied to everything. The whole world. And synthetic gold means that it's not real gold. It's just paper. Just like now, it's fiat. Just like right now, we have a dollar that represents gold and silver. But it ain't gold and silver. It's just paper. So those kinds of things there makes this difficult to find stuff. And they hide this in plain sight. And then the next phase is to cause division. Because now that they're hiding the intel that we need to understand how to combat them, which is the point, then they have to divide us. And this part is already known. We know that the Democrats, the left, they're the party of division. They divide us first by parties and affiliations. And then they divide us within the party by ideologies, beliefs, feelings. Are you hearing me? And so the name of the game here is divide and conquer. Most of the time when a Democrat is at a microphone or at a press a conference or whatever, wherever they're doing, if a Democrat is in a movie, because there are a lot of actors out there, most of them in Hollywood are Democrats. They have an agenda. That agenda is to make sure they can divide. This is why I quit watching, these civil rights movies, honestly. And I like, the history of stuff. But if you ever noticed, they always put black folks in these roles where we're always, a slave. We're always oppressed. They don't like to put us in roles where we're like a superhero. We're not superheroes. We're not cops anymore. They're doing it more now because we have more black folks out there that are doing these movies for us and putting us in roles that make us look better to society. But you don't see them put us in any roles, except for like we're womanizers and pimps, we're hoes and prostitutes, we're drug dealers and killers. While everyone else gets to be a superhero, a cop, a lawyer, a doctor that saves lives, we're always the sports athlete. Or whatever, what have you. Why? Because they blame on history. We're doing a movie that's historic. And it's about slavery and segregation and those kind of things. Why? Because the idea is to divide us within the country. First, we're divided by party. Then we're divided within the party. And it's happening in both parties. But for the most part, it's happening with the GOP. So after you're being divided, you are divided. We are divided by parties. And those people who say, well, I'm not a part of a Democratic Party or Republican. I am in the middle. I am in the middle. I am the independent. You're not. You're not. Because at the end of the day, you can call yourself a dead center guy or gal all you want. But at the end of the day, you're voting one way or another. Are you pro-choice or are you pro-life? You can't be both now. Because the moment you say, well, I'm pro-life, except when I get raped, then you get pro-choice in. I'm not debating the issue here, whether it's right or wrong. I'm just saying, you can't be pro-choice and pro-life. One of them is going to negate the other one. You can't be school choice and have the state decide or your zone decide what school your child goes to. You can't be for high taxes and low taxes. You can't be for big government and small government. It doesn't work. You're not a Democrat. I mean, you're not an independent. You are the majority of what you vote for. Period. Without the negative tag of being a Democrat or Republican, I'm not impugning anyone who's independent, but I'm just saying the point I'm making here is we are on either one side or the other. That's it. Independent people. I know a lot of people who are independent and all they do is vote Democrat. All you do is vote Democrat. That's all you do. Like, you're really a Democrat then. But no, I'm not that. Well, then, you know, you're a coward because you agree with their policies. You only vote Democrat, but you're too cowardly to own the title of being one. Anyway. Divided within the parties itself is next. We're divided over in this party, COVID vaccines and anti-vaxxers. We're now arguing over within the party with each other over whether or not you know you're truly a patriot because you're pushing the vaccine. It's ridiculous, y'all. Well, Stefan, we see all the injuries. It's in the hundreds of thousands. Have you seen 100,000 people die for the vaccine yet? Have you personally seen this thing? Have they, the ones who are saying it, have they personally seen this or are they just saying it? I saw all these videos of people dying. Okay, where's the context at? I'm not trying to make it, you know, I'm not on either side here. What I'm saying is this used logic. Where is the context at? Are they dying of the COVID vaccine? Or are there other conditions in their body that the ingredients in the COVID shot are interfering with that their doctor is not telling them about because the doctor has been told that you better get them the vaccine or you're going to jail? See, we say, well, I don't know why Trump is supporting the vaccine. Maybe he knows something that we don't know. And maybe the vaccine deaths are going to revise down just like the COVID deaths have been doing since day one. As the CDC and whoever else is out there put context to the deaths and the injuries. I'm not litigating, you know, for a vaccine. You all know I'm anti-vax. But the point I'm making here is we're arguing over ridiculous things. It's not this stuff about people dying. Yes, they're dying. But we don't know why yet. All we have are these reports from doctors who think that they know what's going on. And for all we know, they could be lying. For all we know, they could also be making up stuff to have controlled opposition. Or it could be true. We don't know. But at the end of the day, without the context, we do not know how many are really dying from the vaccine or how many are dying from doctors' malpractice who is not telling them, you can't get this vaccine while having this other medicine in your body. That's the real problem in my opinion. And we're divided over these issues. And it's by design. And it's working. So I'm back on Facebook, everyone, but you won't be seeing me there too much anymore because, you know, when you're and this, I'm gonna use the concept of going to jail. I haven't gone before in my life. You know, I'm not a felon, but if you are, I'm not judging because I have people in my family who are felons, so I'm not judging people. But when you experience freedom for a while, and you go to jail, and you find out all the rules and regs that are there, you don't want to go back to jail again, right? Well, that's how it is here with Facebook here. I was banned a month ago, and I was on Telegram and Gab for the most part for the last month. And long story short, it's just like I can say whatever I want to say. I get Facebook back. All of a sudden, you know, Facebook is stopping my posts from being sent. They're deleting words while I'm typing it in the post. I mean, they're literally deleting words. They stopped my keyboard from working. On my last post on Facebook was when they stopped my keyboard from working, where I couldn't even finish typing it out. And then I tried to copy and paste the stuff later on. And they closed the entire browser down. How can they do that? I don't know, but that freaked me out. So I just stopped using Facebook altogether. So I'm on Telegram at t.me/StephanRudd. I'm also on Gab at Fon, P-H-O-N. Don't really post that too much. I'm only using them as a backup. Telegram is where I am, is where I'm at. If you see me anywhere else, I'm on Facebook too. But if you see me anywhere else posting, other than Facebook, I won't be at all. But other than Telegram, it's not me. Okay, I'm not on YouTube. I'm not on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, but I don't comment. I don't post there. I'm only on Telegram, t.me/StephanRudd. I'm at Gab at Fon, P-H-O-N. And I'm on Parler, but Parler has been down for a long time, y'all. I'm not sure what's happening here. I think Parler's dead. So for me, I haven't been able to log on in probably 2 months now. So I don't know what's happening there, but that's a red flag for me. I'm done with them. So Parler for me is dead. And then I'm on Rumble.com. Rumble.com/C/StephanRudd. Subscribe there. And everything I do in audio form will be in video form. And eventually I'm going to figure out how to get these videos up there too, with images and videos within the video, so you can see things and kind of get a better understanding of things. Okay. And my website is thefoncast.com. So the media has been using, or the Democrats itself, they're the party of division. They're the party of the Klan, the party of the slavery. They had all the slaves, most of the slaves, if not all. They were the party of the Klan, the party of, I mean, we can go on, stand in schoolhouse doors. They voted against civil rights for blacks. They voted against voting rights for blacks. They voted against, this is in the 60s, y'all. This is during the civil rights push by Martin Luther King. And they were against all these things. They were always the party of agitation, the party of division, the party of chaos and calamity. They want to dominate. And so they're already a divisive group. It's an occult, because if you think about it, their party, you never see them deviate publicly. You notice that? They don't deviate like we do over here. You don't see them bickering about this stuff publicly. And when they start bickering, they'll say, wait, let's take this thing, privately. Let's take the chat privately. And they go privately, and they'll debate privately, but they won't do a lot of that stuff publicly. They all fall into line with their leader. I'm not saying that we should, but my point is, I think we're on outside, we're more free, so we can do these things here. We can kind of have a debate openly. But they don't break ranks. You could be a rapist, a pedophile, a murderer in their party. You could be exposed for it. Jeffrey Epstein was a Democrat. He was exposed big time, and they still have not broken away from him. they made his island a tourist attraction, or they tried to. It was in the news. Like, this was one of the most prolific child traffickers in the world. In history, and you're making, they ran articles and stories on, you know, him after he so-called died. He didn't die, but after he so-called died, committed suicide, they said that his island became a tourist attraction. Like, what are you talking about? They don't break ranks unless they have to. But when they break ranks, they don't try to burn down everything they're doing. They just Bill Cosby them. You see Bill Cosby? Yeah, they just the bimbos get them. I'm not saying he's innocent, you know, or guilty. I'm just saying they let the bimbos come and get him. Bimbo eruption that didn't work on Trump. They use the same strategies when they wanted, okay, this guy is drawing too much. You have noticed that every time people are about to go down or either expose the party for their crimes and stuff, or they switch parties, like Bill Cosby switched parties, y'all. Are you aware of this? He changed parties. He wasn't Republican, but he became an independent. And he was beginning to speak out against Democratic agenda. He was about to buy NBC and Netflix, and they shut him down. They shut him down. Bimbo eruption. They do this all the time. Harvey Weinstein, he was getting ready to be charged with some crimes. So what happened? They sent all the bimbos after him, which I ain't saying it was right. You know, it was incorrect. He really was a creep, but I'm just saying. They sent the bimbos after him. Cosby might have been as well. But my point is, they didn't care about their behaviors as long as they were a card-carrying Democrat with power and influence. Bill Cosby had power over the black minds. Harvey Weinstein owned Hollywood. You didn't get a movie produced or distributed unless you had Harvey Weinstein. His name is on everything, y'all. The Weinstein Corporation is on everything. Two-thirds of Hollywood had to go through the Weinstein Corporation. And if you want going through them, you had to have their approval to get your stuff in the movie houses. These dudes ran Hollywood. And as long as you were a card-carrying Democrat in good standing and your crimes could not be exposed to the world and embarrass the entire party, they were fine. But what happened? What happened? His crimes became too known. They couldn't off, as you know, let me keep it real. They could not off enough people to keep his crime from being exposed and to keep his crimes from exposing the party. Because all day, it's the party. They care about the party. Well, where did we hear this? Where did we hear this before? George Orwell, 1984. When he discussed that they will have the party become everyone's party. And it was always about the party. It was never about the agenda. They didn't care about getting things done for the people. Everything was done to protect the party. And in every occult, every cult, you have the leader who is always pushing for the party. It could be a religious occult, a political one. It doesn't matter. I know pastors who go out there and they make it seem like if you're not a part of my denominational church, then you ain't going to heaven. I know pastors like this in the Christian church who believes that only one or two denominations of church Christians are going to heaven. That's a cult. I'm sorry. And of course, and now we're seeing it, of course, obviously within the political arena, where, you know, where it's like, okay, you fall in line and you obey, and you do not have the right to question. If you question, then we're going to put you back in your place. If we can't put you back in your place, we're going to shun you. If you don't respond to the shunning, and you're not embarrassed, and you don't stop doing what you're doing, we're going to destroy you. We're going to bring you down. Donald Trump exposed who he was. And they said, wait, he's not one of us anymore? Send in the bimbos. Isn't that amazing? How all it takes sometimes to make these people upset is to disagree with them. What makes you a target for assassination now is to disagree with them. And all while they're preaching, standing on their, you know, on their soapboxes and virtue signaling the Constitution. We believe in freedom of speech. So the gays must have their platforms and we must have our platforms here too. Okay, well, I don't agree with that. You Nazi. Huh? Huh? What? Do you understand the words that you're saying here? See, a liberal doesn't understand words. Because you just gave me the same definition. But I guess what you're really saying is it only applies to you. Don't apply to anyone else. That's Nazism. That's tyrannical. That's what the Hitler movement was about. You listen to him and that's it. Nobody else. I went way too long on this. I hear. I'm here to story. This ain't what I was going to discuss today, actually. This is just that rant which is in me. And before I get to this, what I want to talk about here, I want to read this one thing here from the Daily Wire. This is about Greta Thunberg. And the headline says, "You kill fish. What about their thoughts and feelings?" Jesus Christ. My God. Who put this girl up here? What parent is this irresponsible that you would let your daughter go up there and make a fool out of herself? You kill fish. What about really? that's the headline, y'all. Teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg has reemerged into public view with a series of new viral videos chiding Americans that they most profoundly alter virtually every aspect of their lives, or the world will run out of resources. In other words, you know, she's saying, let's stop eating the fish. We want to stop eating fish. Let me see here. Let me read down here. Because, you know, Greta, man, she is a character. And I was told by somebody, I can't remember who it was now. I saw this video about her, and supposedly there's like every country is led and ruled by a few witches, and I was told that Greta is one of the witches. Like, she's young, yes, but she's one of the highest ranking witches. I'm not sure if it's true or not. I'm just telling you what I saw in that video piece, and I was like, whoa, if that's true, then that makes sense why she's out there so young, because she is probably a witch. But anyway, so. They cleared the claim. This is a quote from her. What they all come down to is that, see, what they all come down to is the way we treat nature, she said, because we ignore the fact that we are part of nature. So we're ignoring the fact that we're part of nature, right? When nature itself is also about divide and conquer, right? Don't the lions eat another animal? Oh, okay. So the animals eat each other, but the humans, we can't eat the animals. Are you serious, man? It's okay for the animals to go out there and eat each other for food. And some eat vegetables and grass and everything, but we can't eat the animals. All right, they can devour us though. If you go out to Africa, the lion will eat you. Okay, the lion will eat you. The jackals will eat you. Thunberg said that Deforestation speeds the process, speeds the spread of diseases from animals to humans. Now, here's the part that I wanted to read, and I'm gonna move on because I want you to understand how these people are wired, right? It says the quote: millions have died from COVID-19, Zika, Ebola, swine flu, mad cow disease, West Nile fever. They mentioned COVID-19 again. That's funny. SARS, which is part of the COVID thing. MERS and HIV/AIDS. Up to 75% of all new diseases come from other animals. Now, let's stop here for a minute. Did you hear what she named? She named Zika, Ebola, COVID, swine flu, mad cow. These are all man-made diseases. Every disease she named has a patent on it. You know, so when you have a patent on a disease, it's because you funded gain of function of the disease. She didn't name one disease that's naturally occurring. She didn't say flu. She said swine flu. That's different than the flu. The regular flu is natural. Swine flu is not natural, y'all. Mad cow disease? West Nile? These are not natural diseases. COVID-19, you know, now the coronavirus is natural itself, but they brought in gain of function and turned it into a you know, something else, but it's not working still, but you know, they tried it. HIV is known to be a man-made virus designed to kill off Africans when they tested it in Africa to see if it worked, and it did. Then it broke out and expanded because people were traveling to Africa and, you know, having sex with the women over there and the men, and they brought HIV back to the world. Back to, you know, Europe and America and so on. So their agenda, really, they create the viruses. And then they make us, you know, then they, she's actually going as far as to blame on climate change. The climate change is going to get, I'm going to get HIV now because of climate change. Like, how stupid are you? Okay, enough of that, because that was just a sidebar. So Kamala Harris took a visit to Guatemala yesterday and Mexico today, right? And, you know, I'm not going to read the story, but, you know, this story's here. It's just, what is this here? This is the Deseret News. And I'm not going to read it, but it says, Kamala Harris visited Guatemala and Mexico, explain. And I'm not going to read the piece to you, but one part I want to pull out here. Excuse me. It says, what will Harris address on this trip? Harris will discuss a wide range of topics, including corruption, vaccine sharing, economy, gender-based violence, and strengthening the rule of law. Right? So the Biden administration is expected to announce new anti-smuggling and anti-trafficking policies on Monday. So basically, they're getting killed in the news by what's happening at the border. So they want to go down there and say, hey, don't come up here because, you know, we look bad now. They're losing the vote. I can't remember what town it was. I read so many articles in a day, in a week. I forget which one it was. I didn't save it because it wasn't part of my topics for this week, but I read a piece where I think one of the cities in America that was 87% or something like that, Latino, Hispanic, whatever, and they lost the mayorship over there in that city, and they're freaking out because, like, wait a minute here, this is 78%, something like it was somewhere really high, it was somewhere 78% and above in that range of the town was like Hispanic. And they lost the, as far as the voters, that is, the voter base. And they lost the mayorship over there. I mean, overwhelmingly. It was a landslide. wasn't even close. What's happening here? They're seeing the polls all around the world, and they're losing the narrative. They're losing the narrative. They thought that they would win the narrative by having these people from Mexico and whatever come up here to migrate. And they're saying now that they're losing the narrative here, that the people don't believe them. They don't want America to be a third world country. They left their country for that purpose. So they're going to discuss the economy, vaccine sharing, and so on. Let me focus on the economy, because that's their main focus here, really. And I'm going to show you a minute here. Here's a piece here in Daily Wire. And I won't read it, but I'll read the headline to you. Nearly 100 Mexican politicians assassinated in 2021 elections. 900 plus injured in attacks. This is from Reuters. They're reporting it from Reuters on Daily Wire. And basically, they had an election Sunday, right? Or I think this past week, the last week, whatever. And on Sunday, they had, after the party of the left lost so many seats, they lost a lot of seats. And they still have the majority there, but they lost a lot of their seats there. The president in Mexico right now is a now they say in the paper he's a center left president. He's not. He's a left. He's basically a leftist. He's a Democrat. Yes, he worked with Trump on some things on the board. He had no choice. He was forced to, because Trump, you know, was making him do his job. Say, hey, get your people. Get your military, secure that border, or else we'll want to cut, you know, all ties to you. We want to make you pay higher, you know, on imports, right? So basically, he worked with Trump only out of spite, but he's a hard left. So he wasn't running for office here. He was already in president. He already won in 2018. So he has two more years of this. However, he was hoping to have a supermajority where they could basically run the gambit. Let me read this one piece here. This is from the NPR. So Mexico's president appears to hold key majority in elections. Now, in the piece now, it says that they were hoping to have a supermajority, right? But they didn't have a supermajority. They only had a majority. He still has power now, but he doesn't have the supermajority anymore. Why is that important? Because let me see if I can find a piece here. I didn't have it highlighted here. So in the piece, I'll just read to you. I mean, I'll tell you what it says here. So basically, they want to get rid of their constitution in Mexico. They want to amend the entire thing. And this is actually in the story here, in the NPR. They want to amend the right here. This is Lopez Obrador Moreno. I'm going to call him Moreno for that one. Party will have to rely on votes from its allies in the Workers' Party and the Green Party. But together, they were expected to capture between 265 and 292 seats in the 500-seat chamber of Congress, right? Marina alone was expected to win 190 to 203 seats. Okay, now, it says that would signal a significant decline for the president's party. So he lost seats here. In the current Congress, Marina has a simple majority, holding 253 seats on his own. It would also deprive the president of a qualified majority of the two-thirds required to approve constitutional reforms. So they want to remove their constitution. They wanted to have two-thirds power in the Congress to be able to remove it. Why is that important? Because this was the playbook of the U.S. Now, they lost a lot of seats there, so that now their power is gone. Now they have to rely on the Green Party people. But I find it very suspect that Harris would make a visit there now, because the killing just happened on Sunday. They were killing sitting politicians. 100 of them were killed. It was one of the bloodiest, you know, years of election in history for them. So just this past Sunday, 100 sitting politicians were killed, governors and, you know, some, you know, other lower level people. Some of them were actually in the higher chambers. Killed. 900 plus were injured. Because the people are not, they don't want this guy in office. Are you hearing me? They do not want this guy in office. The people of Mexico, they don't even want to have their country being the way that it is. And now they want to erode more and more and more from them. And these people they're not having it, y'all. They're losing their mind. They don't want to lose any more freedoms down there. They've lost enough. This is why they come to the U.S. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but coming to the U.S. legally. But my point is they're losing their freedoms, and the people lost their mind. Why is that important? Because the Democrats are afraid that that's going to happen to the U.S. So Harris is going down there now because it's twofold. Number one, she has to stop them from whatever they're doing with the Bitcoin. More on that part later. And number two, she has to get them to calm down, figure out how they can get power back to get everyone ushered into the same system. Right? Because they're losing their power around the world. The liberals are losing their power around the world. It ain't just happening in the U.S. It's around the world. They're losing the power. The people are waking up. And all it would take is for Mexico to flip over to Republican, or not really Republican, but more right-leaning, more conservative values. And it's a wrap. And then we'll see that country begin to expand. And you know what? With the right leadership there in place for the right amount of time, they could really be a great a country. They already have more gold and silver than we have. Not even close. They're number three on the list for gold and silver reserves. If they did a reset of their country to the gold standard, and it has some real laws that gave the power back to the people, they could be the number three or number four nation in the world. At least. Their dollar would be worth more than ours. And they can't have that because they want to be the front runners for the entire world economy here. Okay, there's a piece in the CNN illustrating the ties that they have to Joe Biden. Joe Biden is pretending to be the bridge builder between Mexico and the U.S. And this is from CNN. It says when President Joe Biden, I hate saying that crap, spoke with Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. Ooh, that was hard. On Friday, the most controversial issues complicating the relationship between them, the two countries, were not on the agenda. It's a sign that Biden is looking to reset the relationship with Mexican leader, who had developed a close and personal relationship with former President Donald Trump. So, in other words, you know, they're trying to act like Joe Biden and the president there don't get along when they're both leftists. So they're trying to pretend like, well, yeah, you know, we're mending our issues and we're getting things together, because they want to merge Mexico with the U.S. and Canada. That's their plan. If you notice here, China became one nation. All of Asia became one nation. Then the European Union, it used to be all separate And they're kind of now just like form up and say, hey, we're not the EU. You don't even call, you don't say France anymore, France and Spain anymore, or whatever. You say the EU. They've kind of united them together now, in a sense. And then we have Canada, Canada's united, America, North America, and we have Mexico, okay? They want to merge all of that so that America, North and South, and Canada, all that would be considered one nation, right? And this is what Ron Paul was talking about here years ago, where he wanted to merge the countries together and then create a new currency called the Amero. And then after that, we would want to, unite with the whole entire world. We want to have one country in America, North, South, and Canada would be one country. And then after that, they will merge the entire world. Right? That was their plan. It's failing because Trump came into office. So while they have us fighting over dumb stuff, arguing, complaining, the Federal Reserve is doing whatever they want to do. While they have me arguing with you about COVID vaccines versus, not getting it, or arguing with, another liberal, a liberal rather, about anything, just name it. They're over here passing or running the country in the ground. This is a piece. This is not a piece, but this is like a little headline from Disclose.tv from their Telegram account. It says, just then, U.S. Federal Reserve repo facility hit a new all-time high of $486 billion today. Even though the offering rate on the Fed facility is 0%, demand has been increasing as a flood of cash overwhelms the U.S. dollar funding markets. Let me translate what that means. We're printing out too much money. Okay? We are printing out but it's amazing how they're giving you the nuts and bolts of what's happening as if it's a problem. And it is a problem. But they're not telling you why it's a problem, that they engineered the problem. They created, a pandemic on purpose to have the excuse to send out stimulus checks over and over and over again. Do you think that the government has a $20 in the bank just waiting to be used? It's just sitting there. Oh, we have this extra money here. And they lie. Well, Bill Clinton had a surplus. How do you have a surplus when we've been in debt for 40 years? 50 years, long, 100 years. We have never cleared the debt. How do you have a surplus? How is there ever a surplus? How can you even, with a straight face, with your degree in economics, how can you sit there and say, well, Bill Clinton had a surplus on the money? Like, you clearly don't understand what it means to be in debt, do you? If you have a surplus of $2 trillion, and your debt is $10 trillion, you don't have a surplus, Einstein. You still owe $8 trillion. You're broke. So they keep on printing out money, and they keep on putting out these stimulus checks and giving people the money. And well, we keep them at home. We give them $1,000. Keep them at home. And now, the inflation is going through the roof. Now, here's a piece in Bloomberg. It says, this is from March 22nd. So this is way back. This is like months ago. It says, Federal Reserve digital dollar push worries Wall Street. No, it doesn't. But let's read anyway. I'll play along. The financial services industry, braced for what could be its biggest distribution of in decades, is about to get an early glimpse of the Federal Reserve's work on a new digital currency. They were already discussing this thing back in March. Wall Street is not thrilled. Yes, they are. Banks, credit card companies, and digital payments processors are nervously watching the push to create an electronic alternative to the paper bills Americans carry in their wallets, or what some call a digital dollar and others call called a Fed coin. Nobody's calling it a Fed coin, except for the Feds. You know what's funny here about the piece here? Just the beginning part of the piece here. What's funny is they're making it seem as if there is a disagreement with the banks in the federal, in the new currency, right? Here's the problem with this narrative here. And when you know too much, it's like, come on, man, I can see this crap my way. The U.S. dollar today is not the same U.S. dollar that was around 100 years ago. This new dollar that we have is a Federal Reserve note. It's not a U.S. dollar anymore. We call it that still because we're programmed to call that, but it's no longer a U.S. dollar. It's a Federal Reserve note. There's a big difference between two. The Federal Reserve Bank that's owned by the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the Morgans, they literally own the dollar. They have a patent on the dollar. It's literally their property. And when you have a patent on anything, you are telling the government and the people that I own this. This is my property. I own it. Are you hearing me? So the Federal Reserve note is patented by the Federal Reserve bankers. They own it. This is why it's mind-boggling that we're borrowing from them, because we're literally borrowing their property. The government doesn't own that money, but we're getting it from the bankers who actually own the property, and they're letting us use it so they can, at any time they want to, they can say, you know what, I want my money back. Well, I don't have it because the people in America have it. Well, then I want you know, the entire system shut down. It's my property. You stole it. You won't give it back. And they can literally do that. They can literally do that, y'all. So they're pretending as if the banks have an issue with the currency when the banks are the ones who are doing the currency. It's their currency. And the lower banks answer to the higher banks. So the higher banks, you know, they're the ones, we call them the Feds, the Federal Reserves. They're the ones who actually make this arrangement. They're the ones who make the decision. And they give it to the other banks. So all the lower banks are, just like the Americas, you know, the government is, the lower banks are borrowing the property of the Feds. So they're not in conflict with this. Is what they want. As soon as July, now mind God, this is March now. This is March. This came out of March, as soon of this year. As soon as July, officials at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, doesn't matter what state it is, they're all part of the same affiliates here. So if it's happening in one state, then it's probably going to happen. It's happening everywhere. As soon as July, officials at the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which have been developing prototypes for a digital dollar platform, plan to unveil their research. So they're going to. So they already have an idea on the prototype they want to make or they want to use for a dollar. And they're planning on releasing. You know, if they follow through with the plan, they're planning on getting it out there for testing as early as next month. So, I'm gonna read anymore because this is getting ahead. So now the piece, it tries to make it seem as if there is a division between the banks and the Federal Reserve Bank. It's not, because they're all part of the same group. And also a conflict between the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve Bank, which is also untrue because I'm just playing along here. Joe Biden, you know, appointed with Janet Yellen or something like that, whatever her name is. And she is a Federal Reserve Bank head. So the Federal Reserve Bank head, one of the heads, is actually running our Treasury Department, so-called. So they're not really in conflict. This is all about making it look like it was a struggle and somehow Joe Biden figured it out. And this is all narrative building here. Oh, look how hard it was to get them all sides to agree. And he brought us together. Look at the patriotism in him. He is a great, strong leader. Donald Trump could never do this. And it's crazy. And what's the point of this, of these stories here? Is that while we're arguing over other issues and being divisive, you know, and I'm not gonna be around so and so because they don't have the vaccine, or I'm not gonna be around my mom, you know, for a while because she got the vaccine. And I don't want the shedding to get me. I'm like, come on, y'all, we gotta stop, you know, believing everything that we hear and see, and wait for all the facts to develop. Because in the beginning, everything seems like it's the end of the world. But if you wait long enough, the context will come out. And then it'll clear up, you know, anything that was like, seems like was far out there and like the end of the world. But they have us fighting over these things here. And while we're fighting over these issues, they're running through their agenda. Kamala Harris is down there right now in Mexico, trying to, because here's the piece here. And this is from from 2018, from the former president who was there, right? When he was there in Mexico. It says, I'm going to read the piece. It says, Mexican lawmakers passed cryptocurrency regulation bill. So they want to regulate it because they want to keep it from being, abused, you know, using in crimes or whatnot. But they wanted to make, but they, this is what they want to do, because when you regulate currencies, excuse me, you begin the process of making it a legal tender. And so now the president down there didn't sign that bill, and the bill is still sitting there ready to be signed, but no one has signed it yet. So in my opinion, they're trying to go on there and to stop that from happening. Now we have a new president as of 2018, right? And he's still there now in Mexico. And they have, like I said, they had the number three on the list of gold reserves. Now, I would only speculate on what that means. I will. Every country in the world can't reset to the gold standard. Okay? Because not every country in the world has gold and silver anymore. Gold and silver was declared a barbaric relic. So they were getting rid of the gold and silver for decades. They were selling the debt, they were going into debt, and then they were, you know, paying off the debt with the gold and silver. And then so now most countries today are backed by gold and silver bonds, paper, synthetic gold, not real gold and silver. That's very important. They're backed by fiat. They're not backed by actual. They don't have a lot of, you know, gold bars and silver in their vaults. Now, the number one country in the world, by far, not even close, with the most gold and silver, is Peru. It ain't China. It ain't Russia. The U.S. is number seven on the list. Peru. In fact, the top 10 countries, you know, in America for that they have gold and silver, they own about 80% of the gold and silver in the world, as far as the reserves, not the ones that are still in the earth mining. Africa is being looted for that stuff, right? So, and this is just my opinion. I think that they want to get down there and trick these people in Mexico, because they have the third highest gold and silver reserves in the world, which means that if Donald Trump does get in and have the country of the U.S. reset to the gold standard, real gold and silver, not paper bonds, if he does do that, I think that Mexico, they want to raid them. They want to get all the gold and silver out of it, because they will actually become probably a superpower in this world. They will have their own. They will probably have their own. They will become like America, basically, because they had the third highest gold and silver. Their dollar will be so great, it'd be crazy. So my, in my opinion, they're going down there to sabotage them, to get them to make deals with, you know, why they're still weak, why they're still battling, you know, stuff politically, getting killed over, you know, elections and stuff. They want to get them while they're weak and keep them weak, because if they ever sign on board with the same agenda as Trump, oh my God, their dollar will be great. And Trump has always been bragging about how Mexico is a beautiful place, and he can, you know, they can be a great country if they do X, Y, Z. He's always been saying that. Why? Because he understands that under the gold standard, they will be an elite country. And that scares people, because they don't want, let's keep it real. They don't want third world nations to be at the forefront of power, because they've been oppressed for so long. And when people are oppressed for so long, when they get power, they're going to, you know what? You're never going to push me again. I'm going to get nukes. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. You're never going to push me again. So that's going on, you know, over there. This is why I believe the trip, you know, to Guatemala and Mexico is that they're trying to get them involved with this new reset. And look, y'all, it took me a lot of stuff to get to that. I didn't even read all the articles I have tied to this here. I want to kind of just get the idea out there and kind of move on. But so basically, I'm sorry, one more story here that I want to read here. This is a story here about, you know, I'm not going to read it, but it says Panama to join El Salvador and Paraguay in Bitcoin adoption. So El Salvador is going to sign a bill now to make Bitcoin a legal tender. This is a problem for the deep state. So what's happening is Mexico already has a bill on the table to have it become legal tender. But it ain't signed yet. So they have to get down there first before they sign that bill, which they won't do anyway. But because what's happening here is Bitcoin is becoming the legal tender in different areas. And now Panama and Paraguay, they're both saying, hey, we have to have this in our area too. Why? Because they're understanding that the third world nations become powerful by having Bitcoin become legally tendered currency in their country, because the value is so great. Are you hearing me? So they're beginning to understand that, wait a minute here, we can get power. We can get our power back if we do this. The deep state wants to get there. They want the power to come from the north. Now it's complex, but you know, they want the power to come from the north and then to affect the entire world. But the third world, I hate saying that because it seems so mean, but I'm just trying to give you an idea, you know, South America, I say that. South America is like, wait a minute here, we can have our own power back if we adopt Bitcoin as a currency, because it's holding its value. Our dollar now is so weak, but the Bitcoin, here's the thing, Bitcoin, the value of Bitcoin is the same around the world. It ain't like, you know, the U.S. dollar versus, you know, Mexican dollar or U.S. dollar. You know what? It's not, you know, where it's different values here. U.S. dollar is this. Their dollar is that, right? Bitcoin is the same price everywhere. So they realize if we allow Bitcoin to be used, we can become powerful. Now, why is that important? Because America, we have the most Bitcoin owners in America. So they can get some of that money from America now. We can buy stuff from them in imports using Bitcoin. But the point is, eventually, it's evolving to the level where Bitcoin might have to become a tender now. Legalized tender in the U.S. They're already leading the movement. And Kamala Harris, I believe, is they're freaked out, because this is a part of their agenda. To have the Federal Reserve Bank, to have them have the money legalized or whatever. They want to release their currency first. It hasn't come out yet. But they're trying to hurry up and get out there as fast as possible, because they're seeing people around the world begin to adopt Bitcoin. you know. So I believe that that's going to be. Now I know Trump had a meeting, had a little interview, and he was asked about Bitcoin, and he said, I don't know. It seems like a scam. He says, then he says, you know, he wants the U.S. dollar to be the dollar of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that he wants the whole world that, you know, to use U.S. dollar. He's just saying that he wants to have the U.S. dollar be the leading dollar in the world, you know, as far as the value. But at the same, well, then again, though, this is what Dave said from last night. He said that basically that means that Trump is trying to play along with the party. And that's also possible that he's playing along with the party. Like he's using globalist terms to make it appear as if he's on board with their global reset, so that they don't suspect what's happening here. And that's probably plausible, because the art of war, one of the art of wars is you have to appear weak when you're strong. So for you to go along with the global reset agenda, you're appearing to be weak when you're really strong. So that could be it too. So I wouldn't take his words too seriously, because Trump is just using his platform to disarm the enemy. But we will see. So everything is moving towards that. And we're seeing serious, you know, people considering using Bitcoin and cryptocurrency as their new currencies. But at the same time, we have the Democratic agenda and the deep state, and they're trying to do a reset now. And what that would mean is a lot of chaos. This is why they want to mandate. They want to have mandated everything, because they want to have your money to be digital, so that you can get your money on a chip, so that at any time they want to, they can turn off your chip. You can't buy or sell. That's their plan. And Bitcoin, let me read one more story here, because I'm over an hour now. I'm going to read this. This is from the Colonial Pipeline hack, right? So it says, U.S. recovers millions in Bitcoin paid to Colonial Pipeline ransom hackers. And so in the piece, it said that they recovered $2.3 million. How? Now here's a part here that I found pretty interesting. They recovered $2.3 million, which means that they tracked the money from, you know, wherever it came from to where it went to. But the money that was paid to them was $5 million, right? But they only recovered $2.3 million. Now, all they did was track where it came from to where it went to. They called Bitcoin, like, you know, oh, this is what the criminals use because of whatever. But then you can easily track where the money went to, because it has a trail. You have to send it to an address. Look at how long it took them to find out where it went to from where it came from. They already knew. But look also at who did not get arrested. How can we send money from somewhere, find out where money came from, and we recovered it from where it went to, but we can't find out where the people are to arrest them? I'm beginning to wonder if this dark side group is the same kind of group as SolarWinds, that they are working with the white hats, or rather the black hats in our government or whatever, to engineer false flag attacks on the U.S., the power grid, the gas grid, the food, whatever, the Pentagon. And I think we're going to find out later on that these groups were working for a long time. They might be working inside the Pentagon, inside different parts of the government. I watched this video last night with these hackers. They get paid to go around and they hack facilities to see if they can be hacked. Long story short, they spend about 15 minutes explaining how they hack into secure buildings. And some of them, you know, aren't really as secure as they could be. But they have to break into the facility first. They had to go actually go into the building, go over the fencing, break into the building. You have to cut cords, pull cords, and then plug in USB drives to download malware. And after, and only after they do that, can they hack the system. The term cyber hack implies that you can only you can attack them from far away. You could be in Russia and hit them in the U.S. from Russia. But if these guys had to had to do all of that to get to a low level facility that had no guards, it was just a regular power grid. It was a power grid. That's all it was. No guards there. If they could break into a low level security place and they had to hack it like that. They couldn't do it, you know, with just computers. They needed something on the inside to, you know, to bring in the software, right? Onto the systems that gives them a back door to everything in there. What's my point here? My point is here. This dark side hack and this SolarWinds hack, in order for it to be a cyber attack, they would have had to already install malicious software onto the motherboards of some of the computers at the place. You can either break it into the facility and install it, or you can have it downloaded and installed, or you can go in there, or you can have someone on the inside install it. There is no way a cyber hack is done without providing a back door to these people's hard drives. And so what we're seeing here is we're seeing that they recovered the Bitcoin, but no one got arrested. And half the money's already gone already, which means that it was a money laundering operation on top of the fact that it was an attack on a grid to make it look like it was Russia. These people are sick, y'all. They're trying to kill as many people as possible through war and whatever else. And if we aren't careful, we're going to have them succeed. While we're focusing on these other things and getting frustrated with this and that and losing heart, we're going to end up losing the entire war. These people are passing their real agenda, which is to have a worldwide reset economically. We say with Stefan, you said that they aren't really in power. They're not. But this is a game of information here. This is a war of information. This is a war of optics. Whoever has the higher ground on the optics has the people. And if the people believe, if the majority of the people believe that Joe Biden's president, then Trump can't really move in the way he wants to, because it's going to make it look like he's the Hitler. There will be civil unrest and riots and all kinds of stuff. But you hear me? He has to move in at the right time. And if he moves too early, then he could start a war in the country. And then that's the biggest diversionary tactic you can have. A civil war going on in the U.S. We're already arguing over vaccine versus, you know, anti-vax. On top of arguing over parties and agendas and races and so on and everything. But then to have us, and they're doing stuff behind the scenes while we're doing all that stuff, but to have us also fighting physically now, out there physically fighting each other with guns and stuff, and that's what they want. And they can get so much stuff passed and done while we're fighting each other. So we have to stay together, y'all. We have to stick together. We have to remain as a unit, not like on a coat, where the left is set up how they're set up, and where they can't even disagree. But we have to have, you know, a form of unity where we can disagree, but we don't disrespect the other person's wishes and what they wanted to do with their life. They want a vaccine? That's on them. You don't want it? Don't get it. But I'm not about to kill somebody, you know, so to speak. I'm not going to put death on anybody that got it. I'm going to warn people to not get it. But if you got it, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just going to say, well, yeah, I wouldn't have made a choice, but, you know, just pray that everything will be all right. We're on the verge of some real hard and fast changes here, y'all. Are you aware that the PA, state senators, the leader of the senators, whatever, the majority leader, he was down there last week at the audit in Arizona, and he was trying to figure out how they were running there so that he can take it back to Pennsylvania and run there the same way. Pennsylvania is going to audit, y'all. They don't need a court order. They are the state legislatures. They get to make the call. And then what happened this week? The Georgia state majority leader is down there this week observing because they want to figure out how to run that same audit in Georgia. Are you aware? Those three states alone is over. They're going to overturn the election. We're almost to that point. And what's happening here is Arizona is going to be done counting on the 14th. And what do you think they're going to announce? And then we have Georgia and Pennsylvania starting up next. And Wisconsin has already started, I believe. But Wisconsin, but we don't need them now. All we need is though we have the three states. We have three states. We have Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. That's going to fix this entire election, y'all. It's over. It's a wrap. It's over. The Democrats already know this. This is over. It's only a matter of time and the process now. And what's going to happen is they're going to, once this begins to come out, and probably, I'm not sure if it happened after Arizona or if it happened, you know, during the PA in Georgia audits, but they're going to black out the comms. They don't want this to come out. They don't want this to happen here. So we're right there. And I believe that they want to speed things up because I do believe that Trump is trying to return to office in August. Yes, I know Laura Trump said that she didn't have any intel on that. And she would know. But you have to understand, too, that there is a need for controlled opposition or even have a little bit of misinformation sometimes, too. I'm not saying that Trump's come back in August, but I'm saying that we shouldn't rule it out just because someone in his camp says that it's not happening. Trump never said it ain't happening. Trump said, when I'm in office, comma, and he explained what he would do when he's in office. Because he knows that he's going to be back in office again. And it won't be in 2024. It'll be this year. Because we don't have that much time left. They're already trying to pass they've already began their reset. The global currency, the new one, that they want to have should be coming out next month. Or if not then, you know, it might come out later on, depending on how they delay things. But their prototype for it comes out soon. And he knows that his time is short. He has to move in. What's also happening here, too, and this is this part I stole from Dave, that Mike Lindell, excuse me, Sidney Powell and them and Rudy, they baited Dominion Software Company, voter company, into having a lawsuit with them, starting a lawsuit against them. They spent all those times, you know, like months ago when Trump had this deal happen. They kept saying, you know, outrageous stuff. Oh, they flip votes, they this, they that, and they kept, you know, accusing them, and they never showed the proof. And then what happened was the media began to say, you know what? They don't have any proof. They don't have any proof. Let's sue them. This will be easy. So they sued them. And of course, you know, now I think it's Lindell and them trying to have the case dismissed. However, if I have it wrong, please inform me, because I didn't read that article before I said it today. I'm not sure who's trying to dismiss the case, because I know Lindell had a case against them too, where he countersued them. So I'm not sure if Dominion wants to have their case dismissed or if it's the other way around. But either way, they're having a hearing on it in the courts on the 24th of this month to see if they are going to hear this case. And if this happens, it's going to hurt Dominion. But I notice how they're waiting until after the election audit is over in Arizona. It's over on the 14th. And I think that before the 24th, we will hear the fraud. And if any of the fraud occurs with the machine, which we know it did, that's probably going to influence the outcome of that decision. And so now Rudy and Sydney and Mike Lindell, they trapped them. They baited them into a lawsuit. And if it's them that are asking for a dismissal, it's probably a delay tactic to keep it from being decided or the case being had before the audits were over. It's a great strategy. And so we're at that stage now, y'all, where it's all about to hit the fan around the same time that Ghislaine Maxwell is due for another court case too. Not like this month, but she's due for a court case. I think October or something like that. What's going to happen? All this fraud comes out here. And then at the same time, what if Maxwell is working with the feds? And at the right time, she's going to drop some names and some proof. What if she's already dropped names and proof? What if she's already decided to cooperate? What if she's already told the feds and the military what they've been doing, who's involved, and giving them the proof, and they're waiting to drop this out after election fraud is proven? Because they lie about that for, 7 months now? So to come out and to be wrong, and then have Trump and them be right all this time, it'll ruin the image of Democrats. And the GOP, the ones who were involved with this stuff, and it'll make Trump look more credible. Then they're going to say, well, what else is he credible about? And they're going to bring up the child trafficking, the pedophilia. They're going to bring it up. But it'll come out of a headline in the courts. And at some point in time, this is my theory. At some point in time, they're going to have to black all of this out. They cannot allow him to have the narrative here. But it's already too late. And if you're sitting here wondering, you know, when's going to happen, I'm so sick and tired of it. I understand you. I'm in the same boat. But water boils faster when you don't mind it too much, when you don't look at it. When you don't spend time trying to find the first bubble in the water. You walk away, you come back to it later, and it's already going. And this is what we're doing here now. We're just watching the water. It seems forever, but it's only been like 6 months, y'all. And we're just watching this water boil. And it's getting to the point where it's boiling now. It's about to boil. And we're just ready for it to boil so we can put the eggs in there and have them be cooked. But we're almost there. Just stay strong. Stay in faith. Pray. Trust God. If you don't have God in your life, get God. And then pray. Go on a fast if you have to. Talk to Jesus. Get your mind right. Get your heart right. Because God might change his mind and say, you know what? I want the end times to happen now. And you have to be cool with that. Because he's God. Or he may say, you know what? I want this plan to work. I want to have more time, give them more time to do what's needed to be done in the earth. So just pray and believe and trust and hold the line, y'all. And I'll see you tomorrow.